Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man or woman be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. As we've preached on faithfulness this month, we've been encouraged to be faithful because God is always faithful. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Until our last breath, God will always be faithful. Until our last breath, we must pursue to be faithful to God, faithful to ministry, faithful to the body of Christ. Faithful is defined as steadfast, in affection or allegiance, loyal. Some of you have a loyal dog or a loyal pet. I don't have a pet, and so I thank the Lord for that. But loyal. The second definition for faithful is firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. Conscientious. I learned what faithful was in the military. You had to show up for duty. If you were on the if your name was on that list to be at for that, you had to hold that duty. You had to be there. You couldn't just nonchalant whenever you, oh, Sergeant, I just didn't feel like you get in trouble. But you had to be faithful to duty. As a matter of fact, that was one of the commands, the rules of being in the military. You have an order of conduct or rules of conduct, and so you had to be faithful to your duty, to the duty that you were given. The third definition is given with strong assurance. And interesting that that Webster's Dictionary has in bold letters in the definitions of faithful. It says loyal. It says binding. Being faithful. Now, these are just, you know, when we read this, we can kind of think of faithful to a contract, faithful to a certain duty or roles, given with a strong assurance, something that's binding, a contract. You need to pay for that car note. You need to make payments to the mortgage because you have something binding. You have to be faithful to that. And so we close this series with being faithful to the gospel. And that's the title of our message, Faithful to the Gospel. What do you mean being faithful to the gospel? Well, sadly, many research polls state low percentages of Christians sharing their faith. And you might remember I've shared this many times in the past, Barna Research Center and different other polls. But the fact that even now in our society and state that the church is in today, that there are low percentages of Christians who even consider sharing their faith as something of importance. I mean, it was important for you to come to faith, to come to know Christ. I mean, it was faith in the gospel that set you free. Let's go to slide two. You found out because of the gospel that was faithful in coming to you. You found out that Jesus saves. But yet we who are believers somehow in the church, in society, or in Christianity in general, telling people, declaring to people that Jesus saves, it's not all that important. It's kind of selfish. It's kind of like if you were to go to a restaurant that it said grand opening, and the first 10 people that were there in line get their meals free, and you were number 10 and you see somebody behind you and the Lord's saying, let them go first. You're like, Lord, this is free food. And I mean, we become selfish. We know that Jesus saves. Christianity, those who believe in Jesus Christ, they know that Jesus saves, for it was the gospel that was faithful to get them to where they're at today. But somehow, sadly, the percentage of Christians sharing their faith isn't high. So my first point, be faithful with the gospel. Romans chapter 1, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. There was a reason why Paul said this to the Roman when he was in Rome, to the believers in Rome. And there were not just believers, but unbelievers as he spoke. But he said this, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. What brings us to salvation? The gospel of Christ. For everyone who believes, not just because of the color of your skin, and some don't know. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Father, we thank you. I pray, Lord, that something stirs within us, Lord, tonight about the gospel. God, we see in you that you are so faithful in so many areas of our lives, in so many facets that we experience. God, you are always faithful. And Lord, I pray as we look to you, Lord, and we see how you were faithful to present the gospel to us on that day. Oh, Father, that we would see ourselves being faithful with the gospel, that we'll bring the gospel to those who have yet received Christ as Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When we find ourselves disconnected from God, we have changed, or we're going to start changing, because he always remains the same. He always remains faithful. He doesn't change just because we don't feel like going to church. We don't feel like reading our Bible. We don't feel like praying. We don't feel like tithing. We don't feel like having a heart to, you know, let somebody else and esteem others more highly than us. He always remains loving. He always remains faithful. You see, God was faithful in bringing the gospel of Jesus to us, to you who believed, and none of us deserved his forgiveness. Can I hear an amen? But as we surrender and we repent of our sins, he is there to forgive. But something has happened in the church, and I want to just read a couple of information that I found. The three sources, Barna Research, the Gospel Coalition, and Christian Headlines. And so, something has happened in the church and in Christianity that sharing our faith, like I said earlier, is not so important. And you know, the devil loves this. The enemy loves this. Because it's like him throwing a wrench in some gears to stop the process. What's the process? The process of soul winning. If he can get Christians to stop telling people that Jesus saves, it's like him throwing a wrench in some gears and it stops. It stops the momentum. He can stop churches from growing, and there's a momentum that can be going. But because of the church or the people of that church don't see it's important to live out the gospel, share the gospel, be faithful with the gospel, something slows down. Barna Research says, 3 in 10 Christians who have had a conversation about faith say evangelism in the local evangelism is the local church's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's Hidden Treasures Church responsibility. And that's sad. 29% of Christians, that's around 3 in 10. Believe that evangelism, it's not my responsibility, it's the church, that's the pastor's responsibility, the Sunday school teacher's responsibility, it ain't my responsibility. Yet the most dramatic divergence over time is on this statement here. Every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. Not every Christian believes that. I mean, according to what they just said, 29% believe that it's not my responsibility, it's the church's responsibility. Hello, you are the church. So every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. In 1993, 9 out of 10 Christians agreed to this. That's 89% agreed to this statement. I say a statement of truth. Every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. Yet today, 64% agree. Something's wrong. I think it should have gone up, but something's wrong. And again, it's in not. I'm not saying just this church. I'm saying Christianity as a whole, the church body of Christ. The Gospel Coalition says that in a Lifeway research, they found 80% of those who attend church one or more times a month believe they have a personal responsibility to share their faith. So they found 80, they polled a bunch of people. 80% of those people said, I go to church one or more times a month, and I believe that I have a personal responsibility to share my faith. Yet despite this conviction, only 61% of the 80 have not told I had to read this again because I thought it said have told. It said 61% of the 80 who said, it's my personal responsibility to share my faith. 61% have not told another person how to become a Christian in the previous 6 months. How can I say it is a personal responsibility of mine, yet I am going to be one of the 61% that says I have not told another person about how to become a Christian in the previous 6 months? And I've taken some responsibility on this. Is it our fault as leaders that we are not having classes on how to evangelize? And so I've taken some responsibility. So in the future, we're going to probably have some of those classes and Bible studies in men's Bible study, may hopefully in the women's Bible study, where we're going to talk about how we can share our faith. Because this is crazy that as believers in Christ, 80% believe I have a responsibility, but 61 of the 80% said I haven't told anybody in the last 6 months. Christian Headline says 64% of Christians today believe evangelizing is optional. How did you come to know the Christ, and how has it all of a sudden become out? Don't you see the selfishness there? I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and thank God for Joe Schmo who told me about Jesus, that I gave my life to Jesus Christ in that church service, or he invited me. But now I don't see the importance of inviting someone or sharing the gospel. That's downright selfish. 64% of Christians today believe evangelizing is optional. I believe this. Evangelism, sharing or being faithful with the gospel. It is a balance of sharing the gospel and connecting with someone. The sinner, the lost person, your coworker, your neighbor, or just a perfect stranger. Of connecting with them. Finding not just an opportunity to have something to say, but having the ability and the authority to say something to them. See, nowadays it has changed. People going door to door, sharing the gospel. I'm not saying it never works. It does. But now more people are wanting to know that you actually care about their life enough to actually share with you what's going on in their life. So we have to connect with people. So our coworkers, our neighbors, a perfect stranger even, connecting with them. And I really believe that having the ability and the authority to speak into someone's life paves the way wide open for you to share more of your faith. To share more of what Christ has done in you. Try to share God's word with someone that you don't even know, that thinks that you hate them, thinks that you have something negative about them, and the only time you ever come talk to them is whenever you need money or whenever you need a favor. How about talking to someone and just saying, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. Let's just talk about life. Let's just talk about stuff. Hey, matter of fact, I got some extra time. Let's go get some lunch. Or just stop cutting the grass and talking to the neighbor who's working on their lawn. I mean, just finding the time to have the ability, but also the authority to speak into someone's life. Because right about now, not a lot of people are giving people the avenue. Hey, don't come up to me with all that. I don't even know you. But I also believe the most important is that when we are led by God's Spirit, it is God's Spirit leading us. And if they refuse you, if they refuse me, guess what? We have to train ourselves in our thinking. They're refusing Christ, not me. So we need to learn that it is God's Spirit who leads us. And you know what? Hopefully that relieves a lot of stress on you. Some of you probably, you know, your knees are, you know, hitting against each other because you're so afraid of what they might say. But if you train your thinking that it is the Spirit that's leading me and I am being obedient to the responsibility that I have as a believer in Christ. And God, if they cuss at me, if they throw the track right back at me, God, they're doing it to you, not to me. If we train ourselves, it becomes less stressful and there's a stronger assurance I'm being obedient with what I have the responsibility over. I also believe that none of this can happen unless the Spirit leads us anyway and open the doors, open the avenues, and create a divine appointment. You see, because none of us have excuses. You can't say, the Spirit isn't leading me in that direction. The Spirit is not giving me that ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:18 can throw that excuse out the water. Let's go up. Let's put that up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. We have no excuses. to say the Spirit doesn't want me to share my faith. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are believers. We've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have a message, a ministry of reconciling those who are still lost to a loving God, a loving Savior. Holy Spirit will always lead us to look like, act like, and sound like Christ. Christ is truth. Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, is what the Scripture says. So the Holy Spirit will always lead us to look like Christ, act like Christ, and sound like Christ, because Christ is truth. When we become ashamed of the gospel, or because of the gospel, we give no effort in living out or speaking it. I came across this video. Any of you know Penn and Teller, the magicians? Now, the taller one, his name is, I forgot his first name, the last name is Penn. He's an atheist. And I came across this little blurb or quote. I studied to make sure that it was his quote and not some. Can't believe everything you read on the internet. But there's actually a video I have, and he talks about a Christian sharing his faith. Those of you who may not know proselytizing. It means the action of attempting to convert someone from one religion, belief, or opinion to another. So when we are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone and telling them about our faith, and encouraging them to come and to come to church, to come and hear my testimony, to come and let me share some scriptures with you. That is a term that people would call as proselytizing, and that's what he was talking about. And what really got to me is that this man is an atheist, and he actually took, I mean, I felt convicted, because I thought of, I'm not sure how many of you, in watching this, the 4 or 5 times that you had an opportunity to tell someone about eternity, about heaven or hell, about Jesus and about salvation, and you chose not to. And what he said, how much do you have to hate someone that eternity and eternal life in heaven is good enough for you to know, but not good enough for someone else to hear about it? And I just, I had to repent. Lord, forgive me. Is right away I started thinking about 3 or 4 times that I should have, but I didn't. And so we need to be faithful. If God is faithful and we look to our Heavenly Father, who is always faithful even when we're not, and if we would say, Father, I want to pursue to be faithful in the things that you are always faithful in, faithful to love, faithful to forgive, faithful to have mercy, faithful to just listen. God, you are so faithful to me, and God, I need to be faithful with the gospel. Point 2, be faithful to work the gospel. Slide 3, please. What do you mean to work? The gospel at work. It's got to be moving. It's got to be evident that something's going on in our lives. I kind of like this because there's little dots on this picture. That in different places, it's not just in one place, but in the bus, in an office, in a sky rise. And I think that other one on your left-hand side, is like an alley, even in the alley. I mean, whoever's in the alley, I mean, the gospel at work. What do you mean the gospel at work? The word work is defined by Webster as to perform work or fulfill duties regularly for wages or salary. We don't do this because of the money we're going to get, but it, to work, to perform or carry through a task requiring sustained effort, to exert oneself physically or mentally. In this case, we're talking about spiritually, especially in sustained effort for a purpose or under compulsion or necessity. We've discussed that the truth of who God is. God is love. God is faithful. God wants his love to be evident in us, and we are to faithfully proclaim him, faithfully proclaim Christ, faithfully have his love flowing out of us, to be faithful in having his attributes and having his characteristics evident in all of us. That's why we are developing godly character. We need to develop this. We need to work through this. And I have this quick illustration. I'm not going to open the box because I didn't wash the bowl. But this is pancake and waffle mix. And if I was to open up this package, Like many of you who ever make, you know, pancake or what, some of you are probably like, I never use a box. Okay, if you don't use a box, you actually make it from scratch. But you put this stuff in, and you open up the package, you put it in, and then you got milk. And of course, this is just water. Just add water, the cheapo kind. But you just add water, and pancakes aren't made as soon as you pour it in the bowl, right? They're not made. You got to have a skillet. You got to have a griddle over here. There's got to be some kind of a butter. I like to use butter. But you got to have. And then while you have this and you add the water, you don't just voila, like on, you know, Facebook, those videos for food. They just snap. I'm like, oh, shut up. My diced onions never come out like that. But they'll put the ingredients and then they'll snap. And all of a sudden, the whole onion is all cut up. It never works like that for me. I try to snap, but it never works. But when you pour the stuff in there and you pour the water, what do you have to do? You got to work with it. You got to mix it. You got to, and then mix it to the consistency. And then, even just then, you got to do something else. You got to pour it onto the skillet. And then it's got to be on. It's got to be plugged in or turned on. And there's work involved. And that's just a simple illustration of what all of us have done. We've made something out of a box or out of scratch, but you had to work at doing it. Somehow we expect the gospel to just a smile, and all of a sudden someone comes to know Christ. You know, I mean, even that in itself. Reinhard Bonnke, who was doing tent revivals in South America and in Africa. I mean, the time and effort of praying, being in the presence of God, he walked into a store, people started crying. It wasn't him, it was the Spirit of God all up on him. And the leaders, when they walked into a store, the Spirit of God moved into that place and people began to just cry. The gospel message wasn't presented. No one shared their testimony. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God infiltrated that store and people began to weep. We have to work, be faithful at working the gospel. What do you mean, work the gospel? Shannon mentioned today, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible, God's word just doesn't go in my head. I have to my life is transformed by the renewing of my mind. And it happens by reading, but not just reading. Oh, I don't do that. Lord, forgive me. Applying it to my life. My mind is being renewed, and I am being not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Nothing gets transformed without effort. Nothing gets transformed without some work. We have to work the gospel into our lives, not just our mind and memory. You know, you can have a lot of scriptures memorized and still live like a heathen. You can be very quick at Bible sword drills, and yet the word not affect you. Your mouth is still filthy. Nothing gets transformed. We are not saved by our works. Don't get me wrong. We are saved by grace. Shannon even mentioned that also in Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved by God's grace. But our working, our living, our striving after the Spirit, that will keep us from fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Because then we find death right after that. We have no excuses in not being faithful to the things of God when we find ourselves faithful to stuff. Well, what do you mean stuff? Well, how many of you are faithful to work? My son, Silas, he should have gotten the award of, he had not missed a single day of school this past year. But something happened. I guess we didn't turn in the notice that he had gone to the dentist. We took him out and he went back in. He lost the battle because normally when we take them out, they want to stay out. But he lost the battle and we put him back in the school. And, I wasn't going to, you know, make a big fuss about it. But he was faithful to school. He didn't miss one full day of school. How many of you are faithful to eating? Well, it shows, doesn't it? How many of you are faithful to sleeping? You see, some of the things that come natural to us, we are faithful to these things. Yeah, how about faithful to the gospel? Faithful at working the gospel. God will always be faithful. God will always be on time. He's never late. God's watch is never broke. He's always on time. God is never crooked. He's never crooked. He's not a trickster. He's always just. God will never walk away from, like I mentioned earlier this morning, we walk away from God. God is always with us. He never walks away. Be found becoming more like Him. My last point, point three. Be faithful to share the gospel. So be faithful with the gospel. Be faithful to work the gospel. Be faithful to share the gospel. I think the next slide. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. That looks like a beautiful tree there. But being fruitful and what God has called us to do, it takes work. It takes time. It takes a continued effort of faithful a mindset of being faithful in the fruit that God wants to bear within us. He who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. Why were believers in Rome ashamed? I keep coming back to that. I can only come to the fact that there were some that were ashamed. That's probably why Paul said, I am not ashamed. You guys might be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. Still today, by just reading a couple of those research information, still today there are believers who are allowing timidity and fear to keep them from sharing the gospel or even being able to see the responsibility, and they have become ashamed of the gospel. It is as if sharing the gospel, what? It's going to take away your street cred? Like your street credibility allows you to get into heaven? What, it's like as if sharing the gospel makes you less than a person? Like sharing the gospel aligns you with the worst people in the world? I don't know, but I keep coming to this and I say, Lord, help me to be wise. I want to win souls. Your word says he who wins souls is wise. God, I want to be wise. I want to be faithful to the things that you've called me to be. And listen, I hope that maybe sometime this week you'll go back on YouTube and look at Penn the Magician quote on Christianity, and you'll find that video. Watch it again if you need to. If we begin to remind ourselves the importance of the gospel, what a revival that would take place, because revival doesn't start in a church first. Revival starts in the believer first. That's where it starts. If you want revival, quit praying for revival at Hidden Treasure. Pray for revival in you. It'll get contagious. The longer you hang out with people that hang out with you, it'll get contagious. The people in your home, it'll get contagious. Revival needs to start within the individual first. The Spirit truly is willing. The Spirit is willing to win the lost. But flesh gets in the way. So, Lord, my prayer also is, Lord, I pray that my flesh doesn't get in the way of what the Spirit is willing to do. Discover a new or a renewed way of living. I want to be faithful with the gospel. I want to be faithful to work the gospel. I want to be faithful to share the gospel. And so lastly, before I have Thomas come on up, I just wanted to just kind of just do this. It's kind of like sword drills. So I'm going to just, I know got some teenagers over here. So if you teenagers want to come and sit among some other adults, work together. But I'm going to give a couple of scriptures, but only parts of the scripture. And I want to have people work in groups if you would like. But just real quick, you find the address. Where is this verse? You can use your phone if you'd like to. You could use your Bible of concordance. Some of you might already have these scriptures memorized. So if whatever group you're around, you find it, just have somebody in your group stand up and give the address. For instance, I'll give the first one. God's word will not return void. God's word will not return void. So in your little group, whatever group you're sitting with, first person to pop up, go ahead and give that verse. For those of you that don't want to find that one, here's another one. The grass will wither, but God's word endures forever. The grass will wither. Yes, I did use the New King James Version. The grass will wither, but God's word endures forever. So the first one is, God's word will not return void. Anybody in your group, stand up and share the address. God's word will not return void. Huh? Yes. All right. That's good. Okay, second one. The grass will wither, but God's word endures forever. Yes. Yes. Woo. All right. We're going to do two more. All right. This is where somebody might know it. I will hide God's word in my heart. Huh? Yes. All right. How about this one? All scripture is God-breathed or God-inspired. Huh? Oh, you got to stand up. Yay, all right. I thought we would put into action the gospel. The gospel is God, is the good news of Jesus Christ. And again, I just pray that we will all have this prayer. Lord, I do not want to be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation.